There's like, I was just thinking, there's so much you could do on like a New Year's Day message, right? And, but you're stuck with me. And so here's what we're going to do is, it'd be really nice to, we're going to set the year off right. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Word, and maybe you could say develop some kind of an apologetic perhaps, or develop some reasons why we are in the Word, fellowship, and prayer. In the hopes of starting off this particular year maybe better than you've ever started it off in your entire life. That would be the hope, right? And so, let's get fired up. And so the hope is, and guys, it is simple stuff. Like really, really simple. Being in the Word, being in prayer, and being in fellowship. Nothing more complicated than that. But if there's a possibility that we could offer as a fellowship some like legitimate and serious encouragement to perhaps be really disciplined in those areas as God leads us and by His grace and through the power of His Spirit, that would be a really good way to start things off. And so today just so happens to be the very first day of the year. How about that? So, if this was a message that was like 3 days into the year, you'd already be 3 days behind. And the beauty of this is that you can start today and not be behind. So like in your Bible reading, you're not behind. You can go home and do it. And in your prayer, you can still do it. So I don't know. It's a perfect occasion. I'm super thankful for it. But we'll call it like the New Year's feast. And what can we eat? So that's kind of what I plan on doing. It'll be a ton of scripture. It'll all be really familiar to you. None of it's going to be new. Hopefully within the context, you can maybe learn some things or add to what you already know. But we'll just go through it. It'll be up on the screen and you guys can take notes. If you need it later, that's great. But the idea would be then you can take this information, by the way, and pass it on to your family. And that's the hope. And so I'll have a little bit of a, I don't know what you'd call a charge perhaps for you dads and out there in the audience, maybe there's some things that you can do or perhaps even that you've been fumbling around like, what can I do? I know in my heart of hearts, I long to lead my family well, and I want to do a really good job of it. They're worthy of it. And so there's certain things where life gets really crazy and I struggle to do what I should do as a father. Now that's speaking to the fathers out there and mothers, no doubt you can probably agree with that. Grandfathers and grandmothers, you could probably, that resonates hopefully with everybody. But the idea is maybe put together just a very small little map or a way we can actually put to some action to these steps, and very unimpressive, but really doable. And so that's the plan. A couple of announcements really quick though. I have failed to mention this kind of on purpose. Preachers in Sneakers is not me wearing nice shoes because I don't have them. All right. But February 10th, the Pacers are going to play against the Suns. The Pacers are actually not awful. That's kind of fun this year. But it's a game where like we could all go and hang out up you for like $21. You get horrible seats and you end up honestly watching the basketball game on the big screen. You don't even watch the actual court. It's just a lot easier. That's what I found at least. But the environment is nice, I guess. And so then, we'll hang out and we'll sit together in our seats. And then after the Pacers game, a bunch of pastors will go down and play a basketball game on the court, and I'll be doing that. And so if you want to come and laugh and make fun of me, and it'll be hilarious. I promise you that. Just huffing and puffing up the court. It's like two times bigger than this court. And so you're not used to. Anyway, if you'd like to be a part of it, you can see this. The reason I'm bringing it up is because the due date for like buying the tickets is January 8th. And so I figured if we brought it up last minute, then not very many people would come. I need at least 10. And it's like, that's my family's 7. So we're fine. So we're good to go. But if anybody wants to come, it is a good time. And oh, I forgot, you get to go on the court and shoot a free throw also. So I don't know. If that's cool, then good for you. So, Let's just move on. Let's just move on. All right. I will now pray, and then we'll start digging through some of the word, okay? Jesus, would you help us understand this, and would you drive it deep in our hearts? This year is yours. We want to dedicate it to you as a church and as a group of people, collectively, but also individually. Here we are, God. We just stand. We sit before you. We want you more than anything else. Would you purify our hearts in that way that this year, 2023, would be yours? And so have your way, Holy Spirit. Do your work in us. Drive these scriptures into our hearts that we would do them, live by them. Open up our eyes to the beauty of your word and that we would be in awe of who you are, Lord Jesus. Move us, we ask. Move us by your spirit. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's start in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's kind of the premise of it all, or where you maybe can find the scripture to set it up. We've been traveling through the book of Acts. For those of you who are visiting or haven't been a part of this fellowship for long, we're in Acts chapter 8. That'll be January 22nd is when we start that, Lord willing. Next week, we'll have a little bit of time of sharing some more vision, introducing you guys to a little bit of how God brought me and my family into this particular position. I've never really shared that from the pulpit before, so I'll share a little bit of that story. And we'll do some introductions as far as who my family is and even as a staff. And then January 15th, the plan is to do what is our traditional Vision Sunday, where we'll talk through the ministries that God has established here at Horizon and ways that you can get plugged in and involved, ways that you can engage more here as a fellowship, but also open up your eyes to really all that the Lord does in and through this particular place, Horizon, and just the sweetness of ministry that goes on and how it permeates into the community in really neat ways. And so Vision Sunday is kind of that, where you can go into the fellowship hall and it'll be lined with a bunch of tables with some people standing by them to explain, answer questions for you to get information on. So that's the plan. And then January 22nd, we'll dive back into the book of Acts, which starts out with the very first time the gospel goes beyond Judah and Jerusalem into Samaria. And so we get to see the spread of the gospel happen. It'll be fun. Hopefully we can see God do that and stir that work up in you guys to see the harvest be reaped. Then God would use us to go out and be laborers among the harvest. So that's kind of the hope, what we have in store. So, but Acts chapter 2, a scripture that y'all know so well, it says this: they continued steadfastly with resolve, you could maybe say, in the apostles' doctrine. And we just put the word in there. And the apostles' doctrine would have been what we read in the New Testament. Additionally, we know that scripture was something that the apostles went into and would read, and the church would use scripture. At the time, it was Old Testament scripture. And as the church developed, as the apostles wrote letters, then those were added and understood to be canonized and something that was inspired by the Spirit. And so what would they do? The church would gather together steadfastly around the word of God, what God had spoken, the apostles' doctrine. Additionally, was fellowship, and we're going to break this down differently than what it's noting here, but fellowship is what you would anticipate. Koinonia, a deepness of intimate relationship with somebody else, with a family like what we have here. The breaking of bread, it could mean communion. It could also mean, and I kind of like this one, that it just means eating food together, which is a good one. I like it. We're going to do that, but not necessarily here. We're going to do communion next week. And then finally, in prayers. And so what did the church do? They continued in it. That's just what they did, right? The church just, they hung out in the word, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And that was as they gathered, because then when they would scatter, what would happen? They needed to be filled up to be used. And so the church then would scatter. And so after this morning, you guys are going to leave and you're going to go into the world and you're going to be used by God as the idea. That's the hope. And so here we are. This is the premise of it all. And we're just going to kind of rock through this. How can I be in the word more? How can I feast on Jesus a little bit more this year is the hope. So again, some scripture as we go down here. Feasting on the word. Here's some scriptures that deal with that. The first one is Psalm chapter 19, 7 through 11. They'll be on the screen, but if you want to follow along in your Bible, that's good too. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And when you see the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, just know this. We're talking about God's word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they, we're talking about God's word, more to be desired are they than fine gold. Yes, much more than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. That his word would be something that is so sweet to our taste. We desire to have it, to ingest it, to have it be a part of our lives. Psalm 119, verse 11. Isn't this the sweetest one? Your word I have hidden in at my heart that I might not sin against you. We're going to talk through scripture memory. We'll get to that in a second. Psalm 119, 105. If you know, Psalm 119 is all about God's word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You guys have probably heard that one. Psalm 119, 161 to 162. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. Isn't that so sweet? My heart stands in awe of your word. Could you say that this morning, right? And I want it. Like, that would be a word, something that you would pray. God, would you let my heart be in awe of what you've spoken? To meditate on it, to consider it. And I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. If that isn't true, then we would ask God, would you make it true in my life? Praying through scripture like that, God, let me be in awe of your word and let it be a treasure to me. That's a good prayer to pray. I think it's a prayer that God would like to answer, just so you know. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then to wrap up this particular section, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, you'll know it, for the word of God is living and powerful. Not just this, we also know that in reference to Jesus, but the word of God is living and powerful. That's why we hold fast to it. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. If you're wondering what God's will is for your life, what do? You go to the word and it can discern these things. We trust that. Okay. Five ways you can feast. These are five different things you can do to feast on God's word. We'll get to that. The first one, you can hear it. And I'm going to have a little scripture next to this because why not? It's fun. This is Luke 11. It says, but he said to them, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Oh, how happy are those who hear God's word and keep it. Consider what those words mean. But one way you can feast on God's word is to listen to it. Now, I just recently started doing this. On Blue Letter Bible, do you guys have Blue Letter Bible app? If you don't, let's go. Get on it. Do it right now if you want to. But you go to your app store and you go to Blue Letter Bible and it's the greatest thing in the whole entire world. I love it. But on there, you can read because I also have YouVersion, that Bible app, right, which is a phenomenal thing. But it doesn't have the New King James in audio, but the Blue Letter Bible does. And it's this wonderful voice of some dude. I don't know who he is. I want to see his face though. I was thinking about that the other day. But what I'll do is I'll just pop that thing out and I'll read this. I'll have the scripture like being read and then I'm following along in my Bible because it keeps me focused. So I get up in early morning and hanging out with the Lord and it's really easy to fall back asleep. But with that going on and I'm hearing it and looking at it is awesome. So hearing God's word for your kids to be able to hear you read God's word, that's a good thing too. Want to do that more. But hearing God's word is a way you can feast on it. The second thing would be probably the most obvious is reading his word. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we're feasting on it. You can read God's word. We know that. The third thing would be to study his word. Acts 17, These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, talking about the Bereans. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether or not these things were so. To study his word so I can hear God's word, I can read his word, I can study his word. The fourth thing is to memorize. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Memorizing his word. And we're going to go to a place where we get to our action steps, where each week we're going to memorize a particular verse as a script, as a church, if you want to. We can't make you do it. And then the fifth thing is meditate. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I had to read this psalm. It's so good. It's Psalm chapter 1, and it's verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat, in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf, also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper." I don't know about you, but that sounds awesome. Like, I want that. Whether in relationship to our ministry, to the world, ministry at home, our friends, people in our dorms, our cubicles, I want to prosper in what God has called us to do, because that means souls of people. We'll talk more about meditate later. Who do you feast with? So it's important to go through God's word. Five ways you can invest or be in God's word, but then who do you feast with? Number one, listen, like you. Let the overflow of your time in the word be something that spills out into other people's lives. If you're not diligent on your own to be in God's word, how will you inspire your kids to? How will you inspire your friends to and other people? I don't know. The Lord can do it, right? But just the encouragement, it's one of those things where if you're in an airplane, put your mask on first and then work on other people. And it's a similar concept here of being in God's word. That you need that personal time with Jesus. You personally need it. We'll talk about need once we get to prayer. Inspire people by the excess that comes out of your life. The overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life spilling out on others, man, it impacts people. And so enjoy this time in the Word. Look forward to it. Be hungry for it. Ask God to make you hungry for it. And then your family, and you could add on to this, like your coworkers, if you don't have a family, or your grandkids, so on and so forth. Apply it as it sees fit, or people that you're in school with, whatever it might be. But share this with your family. Ways you can do that very easily, and some strategy perhaps. You can start with a simple Bible reading 1 to 3 times a week. If you're not doing it at all, or if you're doing it on small occasions, then just start off by doing 1 to 3 times a week. If you're doing more than that, hey, keep it up. Don't stop. For starters, you could just read and let that become habit. You literally just read a section of scripture and let that become a habit. Be led by the Spirit to add some commentary. Maybe something that's not a great idea is to expositionally teach. My 7-year-old doesn't do so well with that. So we want to be wise on how we do it. You can ask good questions when you're sitting down, hanging out. What kind of questions? Well, what stood out to you? What does this teach us about God or Jesus? Are questions you can ask. Real simple stuff. It doesn't have to be incredible. What does this teach us about man? Are there sins to avoid as you're reading through this section of scripture? Are there promises to hold on to? Is there inspiration on how to live? These are things that you can go through and when you're doing Bible studies at home. When you're doing Bible studies in your dormitory amongst your friends, simple things like this allows you to dig in and talk with one another. Anybody could teach in this regard. So you can take this, arm yourselves with it, and then go do something about it. And then as a family, you can memorize or meditate on it. Once a week, do some dinner time table talk on the weekly scripture that we'll have. Try memorizing as a family. Have each person go around and try to say it. Learn, laugh with each other, have fun with it. Simple. It doesn't have to be crazy. Who do we feast with? Yourself first and foremost, enjoying Jesus, and then your family, your coworkers, your friends, man. Let it go as it should. Now, action steps really quickly on how to deal with scripture in particular. In your bulletin. Okay, listen. So I meant to have things be passed out, and I messed up, so it's my fault. But, let's see, do I have it? I've got all kinds of stuff up here, guys, bear with me. I don't even have it. That's awesome. Okay. Out in the foyer. And, in the info center and in the fellowship hall, you're going to see a scripture verses for the year. So grab one of those, everybody, and pray through them and things like that. So that there's a lot. I'm trying to keep it all in order. So we have our Bible verses. I'm getting to that, Jay. But whatever Brett has, will you bring it up? I just want to hold it. You can hold it. There it is. And where are they? Are they out there? Okay. Thank you so much. So there's this verses for 2023. I'm going to end with this. I'm really glad I got one now because I was planning on ending with it. But so this is one thing you can do is grab these things. And so I know there'll be a rush, but everybody chill once we get out of service and like slowly maybe trickle out. I don't know. Do whatever you want. But have these available, okay? So this is ready for you on scriptures. I will get to that in a second. And then also out there is through the Bible in a year. So this is the one that we've always done, right? Traditionally as a fellowship. And so we have this. We're going to have two different options, though, if you want to. So you can go out there and pick this thing up. It fits in your Bible nicely. And then we also have another one that I've been doing that's through the Bible in a year. It goes through the Bible chronologically, which I really enjoy. And so it'll weave like the Kings and Chronicles with the prophets and different things like that. It's a lot of fun. I really personally enjoy it. And what I really enjoy about that, bear with me for a moment, is it's, sure, come on up, Brett. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Thanks. No, that's fine. Thank you very much. And so then the other one is like this. Brett printed them out nice and small for those of you who can read and have eyeballs still. And then we also have like large ones for those of you who need large ones. So we do have that. So yeah, there's that. But anyway, it fits in your Bible real nice light. You can just slip it in there and you can check it off should you desire. Same with this one as well. Additionally though, what I end up doing is it's like a website and I just put it as an app on my phone and I could just click it and it goes to it and I can just open it up in the morning and read it. That's what I do personally. But I would love to give you guys two different options to do whatever you want. You have two options now. Go out there and get it. If you have your own Bible reading plan, praise the Lord, keep doing it. But just want to offer you guys some options. I've been really blessed by this one because, like I said, it's 5 days a week. And so, listen, don't nobody freak out. All right, every day is important. But it's 5 days a week, which allows this. Number one, if you get behind, you have some time to catch up. I'm a fan of that. But then, also, it allows me to, like, read elsewhere in scripture. Like I can read just, I suppose maybe you could say like for fun, to where I'm not necessarily doing this, but like Mondays and Saturdays are, I don't know, I can't say off days, but you know, like they're days where I don't want to get too far into it. I'll get that later, but where I can kind of just read whatever I want, right? Scripture, whether it's Proverbs or whatever it might be. So I'm 5 days a week, I'm traveling through scripture, and then 2 days a week, I just get to go have fun and read kind of whatever I want. I personally really enjoy having that kind of flexibility. Some of you really need the stringency of just every single day pounding out. Hey, we got that for you. Don't worry about it. If you want a little bit of flexibility, we got that for you. It's right there. You can go out there in the fellowship hall and in the info center. It's there for you. So you can go and peruse. It's like a little store out there. It's all for free though. So, and then yeah, Bible apps. Online, you can go to horizonindy.org/, or no, it's a slash. We'll just go with that. It's one of those things. There you go. And there's Word. And the link for this will be on there if you want it. Like I said, you can make a bookmark on your phone, which is really handy. And so there. So there's that, right? There's some action steps for God's Word and how you can do that. We'll have a weekly scripture memory verse that will pop out, I think, on Mondays, complete with a little bit of a Devo. And Brett started us off there. We'll have a pastor here on staff just sharing a fast one to two minute Devo on it. So if you want those, utilize them, drawing us together as a church to memorize scripture together, so on and so forth. So that is pray. Now, that was the longest one, just so you know. When we get to prayer, it'll be go a little quicker. When we get to fellowship, it'll go even quicker, and then we'll be done. So everybody, we're fine. Don't worry about it. prayer. We're going to dive in. One thing I want to encourage you is prayer is learned. And so if you stink at it, don't worry about it. You can learn to pray. How do you know that? Well, hey, Luke chapter 1, verse 11. It came to pass, excuse me, as he was praying in a certain place, it was Jesus, he ceased. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just like John taught his disciples also. And so you can learn to pray. You can learn to be disciplined in the midst of prayer. And that's the encouragement that I would have for you guys. Just like know this. If you can talk, you can pray. And based on what I heard before this service began, we got a church of prayers. Potential prayers and prayers, right? So I think one of the greatest things that could ever happen is getting people to pray. Why is that? Well, because it's you interacting with the King of Kings. Listen, I hope you can bear with me because I do not have time to dive into all these things. One day we will. I can read God's word, and there are times where I can read God's word and not interact with God. Or I can read his word and it just be something that I'm doing. This is an unfortunate thing, something that I want to avoid. But inevitably, there are times where I'm doing it because I know that I need to. And that's healthy. It's still food, whether I feel like it or not, or whether I feel like I'm connected. But there are times like that. Prayer can be really difficult to be praying and not connecting with him. Now, are there times where you can be praying and you're like, is it just going up to the ceilings? Guys, come on. Yes, there certainly can be that time where you're struggling. But there's times where hopefully we can learn to meditate and enjoy the presence of the Lord in prayer. And we'll have some things we're going to give to you guys that hopefully can assist in that. Prayer can be learned. And so if we're not good at it, we can practice it. I think it's an encouraging thing for maybe those of you who struggle with it. Really quickly, prayer is necessary. I'm going to roll through some scriptures and see if you can find the theme. This is in Matthew chapter 14. It said, and when he had sent the multitudes away, it's Jesus, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And evening came and he was there all alone. In Mark chapter 1, it says, in the morning, having risen long while before the daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Mark chapter 6, and when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. And so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Talking about Jesus. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. And then Luke 9, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. Prayer is necessary. If Jesus had to do it, guess what? So do I. That relationship with the Father. Seeing incredible need. Prayer is needed and it is expected. Okay, so bear with me with this because you'll see a pattern here. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking, when you pray. Well, what does that mean, when you pray? It doesn't say if you guys end up praying. He says, when you pray, it's just like, that's what you do, right? When you pray, and you'll see he offers some encouragement. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Let it be heartfelt and real. That doesn't mean that you can't read rote prayer, but it means that your heart is to be in it. Your heart has to be connected with him, not just words. You can't just say just words, right? Okay, Mark chapter 13. Oh, did I do Mark 11? No, I didn't. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you'll receive them and you'll have them. That's a promise from the Father. Hold fast to that when you pray. Mark 13, take heed, watch and pray, for you don't know when that time is. And then Luke 18, then he spoke this parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You capturing the pattern here? When you pray, when you pray, when you pray, you ought to pray. Don't lose heart. Take heed, watch and pray. Again, this is just an apologetic, like, men, this is important stuff. And as a fellowship, 2023 lies in front of us. We have 364-ish days left to follow Jesus. And to start off with being in his word and prayer, like it bolsters you and grows you and strengthens you as a follower of Jesus for us to be used by him, to know him more and to make him known, which is kind of what we do. We want to know him and I want to make him known. Those two things right there. If we could boil it all down, know him, make him known. Really fast, Paul on prayer. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men pray everywhere. Ephesians, praying always with all prayer and supplication. This is in addition to the armor of God. Perhaps even most important, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Is this important? Yes. Is it hard? You better believe it's hard because it's super powerful. And there's a fight, isn't there? From the enemy to keep you from praying, to keep you from being in God's word. And so it's like, oh man, there's so many things we could do this morning. But, okay, Lord, but we're just going to go through scripture and let the word of God instruct us. And then you guys can do what you want with it, right? I want to be a doer of God's word, though, not a hearer only. And so I'm like, Lord, please help me. I personally need help. I want to do a better job with my family. And so like 2023, today, this is a great time to start. Philippians, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is important. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. We're called to pray because we need him. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. What keeps us from praying? Very quickly, I will briefly go over this. What keeps us from praying? Sometimes, this comes from a book called Spiritual Disciplines, a phenomenal book. I do not remember who the author is, but it's like a classic Christian book. It's really good. If you want to know what it is, let me know, and I would love to tell you about it. Sometimes the problem is primarily a lack of discipline. Isn't that true? It goes on to say that usually prayer isn't planned. And if you don't plan to do things that are hard, you usually don't do them because it's hard. And we're pretty accustomed to doing things that are just easy. I don't want to live lives of being uncomfortable. And so I set my house at that temperature range, right? I try not to go outside when it's messy, so on and so forth. Prayer is rarely planned, but maybe in 2023, you could change that. And you set aside time to actually pray. Just like you'll set aside time to work out for the first month and a half of this year and then quit. Here's something to, like, don't quit. Set aside time to pray. You can start off small, whether it's 5 to 10 minutes of just sitting before the Lord and praying through something. I'll encourage you, we'll get to eventually, but maybe you could even pray for an hour. Maybe you could pray for more than that. We'll get to it in a second. The second thing, often we do not pray because we doubt that anything will actually happen if we do pray. So that's a theological issue, isn't it? To where I just simply really don't even know if I believe that God is listening or will do the things that I'm praying, so what's the bother? That's a thing where God would stir us up and move in his spirit to cause me to like believe that he's the king of the universe and can do the things he said he could do. We sing about it today. A lack of sensing the nearness of God can discourage prayer. This is where fellowship comes in so wonderful. Being with other believers and praying with other believers. Being around people who are spirit-filled can encourage you in your prayer life and in your reading and so on and so forth, which will eventually tag on to fellowship. When there is little awareness of the real need, there is little prayer. When you have little awareness to the real need, there is little prayer. So bear that in mind. Is there a need? Yeah, there's a need. Like people are lost and I can do nothing about that. A person needs a move of God's spirit and people praying in order for them to know who Jesus is. It's the light of the gospel being shown in their lives. Like, we need help with that. I can't do it. What about your kids? We need help with that. What about your grandkids? I need some serious help, right? So we pray. A lot of times we won't pray when our awareness of the greatness of God and the gospel is dim. Our prayer lives will be small. When our awareness of the greatness of God and the gospel is dim, our prayer lives will be small. And so maybe these are ways to part out some symptoms that are in your life, and you can look at this and think, man, God isn't that great. The gospel's whatever. And so I just live a life of whatever. Who's got time for that? I don't want 2023. Me personally, my encouragement for you guys would be like, that's not what 2023 is. Like, God, would you move in a really neat and powerful way? We can ask him for these things, right? And then finally, concerning meditation, not the crazy stuff the world has, but what's biblical meditation? Bear with me for a moment. Meditation bridges the gap. Now, this came from the spiritual disciplines book, bridging the gap between the word and prayer. So you can have the word of God that you just got done reading, and you have prayer. And you can think of it like this. In between is meditation. So let me read this. It says, this is from a guy named Thomas Manton, who was quoted in that book. Meditation is a middle sort of duty between the word and prayer. It doesn't always have to be this way, by the way, but I really liked how this was said. And has respect to both. The word feeds meditation. Meditation feeds prayer. I like that. I think it's true. These duties must always go hand in hand. Meditation follows hearing and precedes prayer. To hear and not meditate can be unfruitful. What does that mean? To hear God's word and to not think on it and consider it, it's unfruitful. It's not driven into the soil of my heart to bear, to take root, is what he's trying to say. We may hear and hear, but it's like putting a thing into a bag full of holes. It is rashness not to pray. I'm sorry, it is rashness to pray and not meditate. What we take in by the word, we digest by meditation, and we let it out in prayer. These three duties must be ordered that one may not jostle out the other. Men are barren, dry, and sapless in their prayers for want of exercising themselves in holy thoughts. Some deep stuff, and all of that was like, I had to translate it from the haths, feedeth, and so it's one of those old guys who was serious, you know? Like when they were serious about stuff back then, like that stuff is good. But consider that as far as going from reading God's word, considering it, meditating on it, mulling it over in your head, right? It's like a cow who has all those stomachs and they chew up everything and they put it back in their stomach and they put it back in their mouth and they put it back in their stomach. You guys know the drill. Getting and sucking every last nutrient out of that stuff. That's what meditation is. It's not clearing your mind. No, it's actually filling it with God's word. Filling your mind with what he has said. That's meditation. And so consider that as we go on. Who do you pray with? Yourself, first and foremost. Let the excess of your life of prayer with Jesus and your time with him spill over and out into your family. Let the excess of your time with the Lord and you're being blown away by the move of his spirit and love for his word and so on spill out into your dorms or spill out into your offices or spill out into wherever in the world you are. Let it spill out. You yourself enjoy Jesus. Work on that discipline. It's worth it. It's for the sake of your kids, your family, and your community, and your church. Like, it's for his glory. It's worth it. And then finally, pray with your family. Start with praying for your kids at night before bedtime. If you want to just start nice and easy, I'm encouraged. Add to it, by the way. But just start there. Say, we'll pray every night before bed. Before you go to bed, we'll go in there and we pray for our kids. And maybe before they go off to school. You can add in prayer requests. Each one of them can do a prayer request. And then you can go and you can pray for each of those. From scripture, you can add requests, scripture. And then you can create a list as a family of important things to pray for. And you guys can just go through and pray for it. Those are just simple things you can do. Don't forget, it's about meeting with Jesus though, right? Don't forget that it's knowing him. Be in awe of him. And you can have fun doing it too. There is a table in the fellowship hall and there's the info center. Hey guys, we're almost done. Is everybody okay? I know I'm talking a lot. I'm sorry. But in the fellowship hall, there's a table and in the info center, these are available. And they're like prayer cards, I suppose you could say. I don't know what you want to call them. But we've ordered these and there's a bunch out there. My encouragement is this. That you take them and you can stick them in your Bible. And like on Monday, you wake up and you're like, man, why do I pray? Like you can pray for the first six things on here. And then you can put it away or you can pray for more on it. We've got life-giving prayers for your church. That sounds awesome. Would you guys grab this please and then do it? That would be really incredible. 31 ways to praise the Lord. And so if you're wanting on Tuesday, if like I'm just wanting to praise the Lord, you can whip this bad boy out and it can just help you go. It's just prompts on here. Now this one, well, there's like praying prompts, I guess you could say, right? Where you could go through this and just pray. Pray seven of them, for crying out loud. Whatever, that's a biblical number, right? Pray seven of them, whatever you want to do, or pray one a day. But you have something that's in front of you. This is really helpful for me. I don't know if there are people out there who are like awesome and can do this without these things. But like, I need these things to be in front of me, to go through and pray. So it's here and available for you. Ways to pray for people in authority. Biblical virtues to pray for your kids. That's a good one. Personal prayers from Colossians. This is beautiful. And then finally, out there, you'll see this, a sweet hour of prayer, which is something we've done at the men's advance. But I would encourage you guys just to sit, and you can just kind of go through it and be led by the Lord to pray. You don't have to go through all of it, or you can. You can do a sweet hour of prayer in a half an hour if you go fast enough, I suppose. But the idea is just to sit with the Lord and to learn to enjoy this thing. You guys, prayer can be learned. And if you're not very good at it right now, listen, practice it. Start small, like you should be doing with all of your New Year's resolutions, is start small and then build into it. And work the discipline in to continue in it. That's the hope and desire, is that you can work the discipline to continue. And so the reason that we got these is because they're really helpful. And so there's a bunch out there in the fellowship hall and the thing. Go grab them. I just went through and grabbed every one of them, and you can stick them in your Bible, and you can like read one a day or something. You know what I mean? So definitely encourage you. Finally, here's what's up. We're about done. Everybody stay strong. It's only one service, so I could technically go as long as I want. Okay? And it's so tempting. But I'm going to be respectful of your time. It's my daughter's birthday, Nora. Happy birthday. So we got a party later on. She was born January 1st of 2011, all 111. And she was almost born on at 11-11. She was born like 11-18. How crazy would that have been? Okay, anyway. So we got, I got stuff to do today. Like celebrate my daughter. All right. Fellowship. Last thing. Word. And then we did prayer. And then finally fellowship. Okay. This will go pretty quickly. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man's countenance sharpens the other. Right? So iron sharpens iron. Why do you need to be together? Because I need help. Thanks for laughing at that. Proverbs 18 verse 1. A man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. Listen, we need each other. It's biblical to be together. It's biblical and needed to do life together. We have things called home fellowships, even church, and we'll discuss that, where you can do that very thing. And as it said in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayer. It's what the church has always done. We spend time together. We sharpen one another. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. We love one another. It's what we do. We need it. Acts chapter 5, it goes on, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus is the Christ. All the way then to Acts chapter 20, you'll see it throughout the entire book. Now on the first day of the week, when the apostles came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Then that dude fell out the window, if you remember that story. But they were together. They would gather together and spend time enjoying the Lord, worshiping together. And then they would be scattered out into the world, filled up with the Spirit, ready to go get after it for Jesus. Hebrews 10, this is kind of the classic verse on it. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching when Jesus is coming back. And the world's going to get crazier and crazier and crazier. And let me tell you something. It's going to become harder and harder and harder for you to follow Jesus as you are in this particular world that we're in. It's going to get harder and harder and harder. And that's okay, because that means it's going to get exciting. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be hard, yeah. But seeing God work and move in ways we've never imagined, seeing a harvest of souls come to know Jesus, like that's exciting, isn't it? And that's what's coming as the day approaches, but it also is going to get hard. And that means we need each other. Being in small groups provides a place to serve one another. There's only so much you can do. The unfortunate nature of a Sunday morning is you have to sit passively and listen to me, okay? You can't interact as much. It's probably what you'd like. But in a smaller group, you can. You can use your giftings. And you can minister to people in a way that you can't maybe on a Sunday morning, which is why we have home fellowship. I know you guys know all this. It's also how we raise up new leaders, by the way. We try really hard to do that organically through our home fellowships, to raise up new leaders and then pop them out into new home fellowships to see God working. Because I hear your heart when we're in that. I can't hear it necessarily right now. And the other leaders can hear you digesting God's word, watching you as you follow Jesus. Super necessary and needed. We need these types of things. What can you do about it? In the fellowship hall, there's information, believe it or not, a lot. You can go there, you can take a thing, you can fill out the information and set it there, fold it up and put it on the table right there if you want to. And we're going to be creating new home fellowships, and we're also trying to fill up the ones that we have right now. And so there's way more people currently than our home fellowships, and we're working through it. We've got it going. And we'll continue to work through this in the weeks that are coming. But I want to encourage you guys to really pray about this. And especially husbands out there, pray about this and consider what you should do. And what would be good for your family? I want to encourage you to take some initiative in that and think about what would be the best thing to do. Praying about it, considering it. And then I'm finally going to end with this. It's out there. I'm so sorry. I meant to have it on the chairs. It's my fault. Verses for 2023. I'm going to read through them and then we'll be done. Colossians 3:16, we already read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do we have worship, Ed? Why don't you all come up then? Sorry. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, like that right there. It's kind of what we want to key on. Hebrews chapter 12, this is what we kind of started our 21 days of prayer and fasting on, but it's been such an incredible verse. We're going to continue to pray it into the new year. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. I'm sorry, the right hand at the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I think that we're going to need these verses in 2023. And so let's pray them. Plant them in our hearts. Put them in your Bible. Think through them. Read through them. Pray these for our church too, right? On the other side is Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Asking and praying that God would bring joy in our lives because of what he's done. Circumstances might be difficult, but he's the king and he can bring joy. And then finally, Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16 says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in a house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so these are things I think that God would have for us for this coming year. Pray on them, consider them, digest them, memorize them, and ask that God would do that very work. Each one of these things is such an important aspect of it. But being a light, let's do that. Okay. All right. What to do? Go out to the fellowship hall, pick all that stuff up. It's like Christmas again. Get a bunch of gifts. if you'll allow me to. Fathers. My phone's violent. Sorry. I didn't turn my phone off. Fathers. Go out there and take some initiative and think, all right, I want this for my family. What can you do for your family to strengthen that, to strengthen your own resolve in following Jesus, to be inspirational to your kids and to your family, that they would look at how you follow Jesus and be in awe of it? That'd be so cool, wouldn't it? And so do that work. We're going to pray for it, and then I'll let you guys out of here after we worship. So Lord Jesus, we come to you in such desperate need of a work of your Holy Spirit to drive these things into our heart. We just ask for it. That you would cause these things to be things we recognize that we need. Help us, Lord. to start this year off with you at the very center of it all. We would surrender our lives into your care, recognizing, Jesus, that you are the King of all kings. You are the Lord. We confess it with our mouth. We believe in our heart that you've raised from the dead. You said that if we believe that and if we confess that, we'll be saved. That you have taken care of it all. And through the power of the cross and your resurrection, that you have forgiven us. And like we have this week, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away and everything has become new. We have a brand new year. Thank you for that, Lord. To start over again, if there's anybody in here who doesn't know you, Lord, it's a matter of believing, confessing within their heart that you are the King, repenting of their sins, Lord. You said that they'll be saved. Thank you for the simplicity and the beauty of the gospel. Would you use this fellowship in a powerful way this year? We want to dedicate this year to you, asking that you would move by your Spirit, that people would get saved, that we as a fellowship would know you more than we've ever known you, diving deep with you, but also that we as a fellowship would make you known more than we ever have before. Do your work, Lord. Continue to grow us. Continue to use this place as you have for so many years. For your glory, Jesus, you're worthy of every bit of it. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.